This is Ricey for the Canopy Group. For the past 163 years and even more, Minnesotans have been enjoying all this great state has to offer. From Niagara Cave to the Lake of the Woods, outdoor adventures abound. It's great we can experience a state so rich in landmarks, landscapes, art, and adventure. With so many adventure options, it got us thinking, why are so many Minnesotans limiting their home and auto insurance options? Today, 80% of Minnesotans have their insurance with just one agent who has only one company to deal with. You have no options. At the Canopy Group, we offer you more than 16 companies for your home and auto insurance and 30 professionals to deal with. As your needs change, we have options that continue to provide you with the best coverage for the best price. You wouldn't want to fish in only one of Minnesota's 10,000 lakes, and we don't want you to be stuck with only one insurance company. Visit thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389 and get the best insurance options available today.
Always fun, crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Indeed, it is Royce Unchained. What's on your mind this Monday, Patrick?
I guess I'm a lonely voice in the wilderness, thinking that the Vikings didn't play that bad yesterday, and they just got beat by a superior force. Stafford obviously got awful early in the first half. He was terrible. There's no doubt about it. And they did have an opportunity or two. But did you ever have a feeling they were going to win that game? From the first drive, I never really did. People are it's being framed as boy, the Vikings really let one get away. And I never thought it was in their grasp. Considering the line play by the two teams, I think that pretty well determined who won the game.
Stafford played so poorly, and the fact that McVay kept having him pass when they could run at will, though, I think is what just baffled me.
I think that, you know, but there were a couple of times you get, you know, all of a sudden it's second and nine, and you know, then they got eight guys up there. You got Harrison Smith and eight other guys in there. And even though you managed to gouge them when they're a normal defense, he never had him really make complicated throws. I suppose he's been watching him all year. And you know, there was been talk about a month ago, not anymore, that he was an MVP candidate. And I suppose you can't believe your lying eyes when you watch him in the first half and some of those throws he made. I think the worst throw he made, I mean, he made some god-awful ones, but the one he didn't hit Beckham with early in the second half was, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, he had the ground ball going. There's no doubt about it. I thought McVay, one of the five dumbest things I've ever seen in football was deciding you had to squib kick instead of kick the ball through the end zone and put him on the 25 with 11 seconds to go. I would have fired my special teams coach if that was his brainstorm on the spot. That was unbelievable. And if Cousins and Jefferson team up, they get to kick a field goal, right? Right before the end of the half. That was unbelievable.
This squib kick thing, I don't understand it. So you're trying to eat clock up, but it's like they got the ball at what, the 45 or something instead of the 25?
Yeah. Yeah. And all you got to do is complete one pass. There's only 11 seconds to go.
Right? I know. but I mean, like, that's the thought process is what? That the Vikings are going to return the ball. It's going to hit somebody.
Yeah.
And then the time is going to run out. I don't get that one.
You're going to put it at the 25. And the Vikings are going to kneel down, probably.
Correct.
What the hell? You know,
you
think they want Aaron Donald pass rushing Cousins with 11 seconds to go and forcing a turnover so he can kick a field goal with 5 seconds left? That was you can see he likes to outsmart himself. There's no doubt about it. But that's if they can ever get their offensive line back together, that's a pretty good team. And Donald is. Amazing. Man, he's so
how much good. Fun is he to watch?
And I think they managed to, as the old saying goes, piss him off, because on that first series, Darisaw cut block him pretty neat, and they showed that on one of those big gains, and I think that got him interested, because about two plays later, he went by Darisaw like he was not even a human being. But I do like the way they move him up and down the line. You can't find out where he is, and you know, they got their they don't have the regular nose tackle, and then their second string nose tackle got hurt too. That Gaines who made a couple, three good plays. But, you know, down on the goal line, obviously Kirk getting killed on the what they did in the inside the 10. But Osborne threw the guy, though. The one was Osborne, on Osborne making that drop for the interception. That was Osborne. That wasn't Cousins. I don't think. Huh?
Donald, though, is incredible. He moves people aside like he's cutting in line. Bang.
Absolutely. Well, he's Randall to some degree, but he reminds me more of Alan Page when he was at his zenith because he was so, you know, he was never huge. He was like 260, but strong, but so damn quick. He wasn't there when they, you know, there's a famous game that someone would, and we'd have to look up, but so it had to be when the Twins were in the playoffs, either 69 or 70. And they moved the game to Memorial Stadium, mm-hmm. on 69 or 70, a Packer game, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they called a roughing the passer penalty on him. And when he got the red rear end, he was unbelievable. And I mean, for the next seven plays, whoever was playing quarterback had no chance. It looked like the entire Chicago Bears defense from the mid 80s coming at him. He was just deranged, and he had a series of plays that were amazing. And that looks like Donald at times. That he's all of a sudden he goes along and goes along, and then he has that four or five page play sequence where he's untouchable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the Vikings had interior wise, no chance. There was nobody who had a chance.
How about the Rams getting lucky? They had two early picks in that draft. Now they don't care if they ever have another draft choice as long as they live. They're fine. Right. But they had the number two overall. Did they take Aaron Donald? No, they took Gerald Robinson, an offensive lineman who was a complete bust. So, you know, that they can't stand up and talk about their genius of drafting Aaron Donald. A lot of people missed on him, obviously. Who'd the Vikes take that year?
That was Anthony Barr, right?
That was Barr. And that's, you know, that wasn't an outrageous pick. Barr had one of his better games yesterday.
Yeah.
Made some plays and was interesting, but I got to tell you the whole oh, we weren't properly emotionally involved crap. You know, to me that guys are running around in the locker room before the game saying let's go get them boys. That's going to make a big difference. That's why they. I thought actually the defense played fairly well. I mean, Stafford made enough mistakes, so it was hard to tell.
Yeah,
but there were times when they were having three and outs where it wasn't because of Stafford. It was just the Vikings. The defense stood up and played fairly well. But they obviously everybody's whining about the Zim, especially the forward progress play, that the ball hit
out of bounds.
Cup when he was out of bounds, right?
Yeah.
Or somebody when he was out of bounds anyway. So
the tip of Cup's foot was out as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think she made the wrong call, but she ultimately got that right.
Yeah, she did. It wasn't Zim is right about how.
Yeah, forward progress should have been called.
You know what? This is, I hate to, we should stick on the game, but this idea, there used to be you could not aid the ball carrier. You remember the Bush push?
Yes.
Against Notre Dame? That was a big scandal. Now these guys pick guys up and carry them forward.
That's how the pile moves now.
Who started that?
Big fat guys.
How do they let that happen? It's ridiculous.
I think post Bush push, they changed it, right? I think it just changed the rule.
It's probably been this way for 10, 12 years now, right? But the Bush push was obviously a college game. But maybe the referees decided, we can't. It's too hard a call to make. We just got to make the call where the ball's down. But it is amazing how they just push guys in the end zone now or wherever they're from. If you get a stout running back who can just stand up, they can push him 8 yards. It's incredible.
Yeah. I think that what you've been saying now for a while is exactly right. I think what we need is some type of football officiating summit, though.
Yes.
We got to get away from these flags. I mean, you've said this for a long time. And 2020 was actually the one good thing about COVID was the flags dried up a little bit. But, Pat, when every big play makes you look and say, okay, where's the flag?
Yeah, where's the flag?
That's not
now, yesterday it wasn't bad, right? They didn't throw many, right? The Vikings only had three.
No, and this guy's crew was actually not bad.
No, but and then there's this fine line too. If it's determining outcomes, you know, you got to make the call. Like at the end of the Green Bay game on Saturday, when Russell, the guy that keeps making all the interception, Douglas, Rusher, sexually molested the guy before he grabbed his shirt. He would look like he was trying to strip him down, and they don't call anything, and the Packers win the game. That was, you know, if it's ticky tack, don't determine the game, but you also can't determine the game by not throwing a flag in that situation. So
sure.
It's I know it's a damn impossible sport to officiate, but I still stick with the idea that when in doubt, don't throw the flag, right?
So,
It's did you think, now I haven't seen a Hockley game, so I haven't seen one, but I thought maybe this weekend the word had gotten out or something. I didn't see as many flags in some of the games as I watched. I wonder if it came down from on high.
How about the
double reversal play?
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it. Devontae Adams. It was fantastic. Is it the guy from Alabama? Is it what's his last name? The Heisman Trophy winner.
But
Devontae what?
Smith?
Smith. That's a hard name to remember. But he's fantastic, and he made this catch, and then they reviewed it and said no catch because it looked like his heel was on the line. Then they decided in New York to look at it again and reversed it back again. So anyway, though, the Rams, I think the Rams are going to be, you know, if Stafford plays okay, I think they're going to be a tough out, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't know that I have confidence he's going to now. His statistics are really good, but every time I watch him play, he's not as impressive as those stats indicate he is. That's my concern.
Yeah.
And McVay's not changing. Like, I don't think McVay's changing. I think McVay is saying, I got my QB. You're throwing the ball. But the thing that you're right about was the passes yesterday, high, low, like they were not good timing routes.
He looked like, I think I tweeted out in the first half, I think he's having hallucinations. You know, I mean, that throw to Beckham was, what the hell is that? You know, the Vikings were the inferior foe by quite a margin. With what they, Mark Craig wrote about this today in one of his little five things, how Wanham, who was a hero last week, right? He was invisible. Nobody saw him all day, and he's playing against, after a couple of injuries, he's playing against a rookie who hadn't played at all. So the undrafted rookie, and that guy was eating his lunch, so. I don't know. They'll probably go in and give it a fight, don't you think, with the Packers? The Packers were not good on Saturday, but then again, they figure out a way to win. So this team deserves to go into the last week without having a chance to be in the playoffs.
Amen. That's exactly what I think, too.
They deserve it.
Yes, they should be out.
But we don't have to do a Red McCombs and fire him, you know, like he did with Denny, and fire him with one game to go in the season.
That's what Declan wants.
And then name an interim coach. You know, that's how Tyce got the job, and we were all grateful for those four wonderful years of Tyce in the media. But I think they can give Zim the dignity of firing him on Tuesday, don't you think?
I think they will. Yep. Yeah.
But he's gone. I mean, they don't make the playoffs. He's gone. What do you think? I'm 50-50 on Spielman. On merit, Spielman goes too. On Spielman's ability to be a politician within the office and with the schmoozing up Mark Wilf and Ziggy, I still think he has a better than 50-50 chance to survive.
I like the report from Jeremy Fowler, who is former Pioneer Press guy who's now at ESPN. I liked his report that he has heard that Rick might get kicked upstairs. Because I don't think they want to fire Rick, but I think getting a new GM would be the smart move.
Yeah, that's I read that too, and I think Jeremy might be right on there. They won't fire Rick, but what do those people do when you get kicked upstairs? What is your task? Because you have to, if you're bringing in a GM, they probably like to bring George Patton back, but I don't know if he'd come back. I don't know why he would. But
no, he wouldn't.
If you bring in a new GM, you got to let him run the personnel operation. You can't have Rick saying no, no, no. I never know what those people do, but his brother has that kind of a task in Detroit, doesn't he? He's
yes,
he's overseeing the general manager. But I never know. It was like when my guy Jerry Kill wanted to be the conduit between. Tracy Clays and the presidents of the university or something. He wanted some job like that. A, we know now that wouldn't have satisfied Jerry because he wants to coach. But B, that was, you know, Tracy Clays. I tell you, one guy who wasn't in favor of that, Tracy Clays. You know, so I don't know if that works or not. What's your guess on the new coach?
Oh, I think they're going to get... Yeah,
Kellen Moore. I see Kellen.
That's
Moore.
Declan's guy. Yeah, I could see that.
And he's a young, he's another young genius. And just like all other assistants, a third of those guys make it and two thirds of them fail. Right. So that's the way it do. When you pick from that pool, that's what happens.
And Moore makes sense because he is the opposite of Zim. Right. He's young. He's offense. He's totally mm-hmm. different.
Yes. I don't know. I don't think he's. Does Dallas still have that situation where the assistants don't talk a lot? Because I don't see him quoted too often or anything. Kellen Moore.
I don't see him quoted. No. Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, I mean, a lot of Jerry Jones. I think at a time it was I talk and the coach talks. That's it. You know. So how about this guy might be available, Mike Tomlin. He's got to go.
Oh, he intrigues me, but he's been around for a long time, yeah, and he's a defensive guy.
I'll tell you,
if any guy
looks like he needs a fresh start, it's Tomlin with that team.
Well, he's been there since 2007, right?
14 years, and he's 48 Ooh. Years old. He's 48 incredible. Years old. But he looks, those eyes of his look 65, don't they, man?
He's got to watch Ben play every Sunday. Yeah, it's excruciating right? watching Ben play. It looks
See,
like me trying
wants
to play.
To get rid of Kirk. Here's the problem. When you got, you don't have anybody, when you got Ben out there and you don't have anybody better, these guys are hard to find. Everybody who wants to watch Kellen Mond run around. Well, we were so excited about Kellen Mond, we had to bring back Sean Mannion, for God's sake.
So Mond, because Sean was out in COVID protocols on Sunday, Mond was the backup. So, Patrick, I took a video of Mond and pregame warmups handing off on Twitter, more than 10,000 views.
Really?
We want Mond, baby. We want Kellen Mond.
Kellen Mond could eat a sandwich, Patrick, and it would wreck, and people would crave the content.
We know nothing, but excuse me if I'm wrong, but the glimpse we got at him in the preseason was not that impressive, was it?
No. And we people, don't care. It's
and
Kellen
people
Mond.
Have seen him in scrimmages. You know, he was hitting people in the head and stuff like that. But, I always told you were at the Star Tribune then, I believe, Judd, when Gino Toretto. No, were you there when Salisbury was there? Yeah.
Yes.
We had Salisbury,
as a clerk,
Gannon.
Yes.
We had Salisbury, Gannon, and Toretto that went in at the end of a disappointing season. What was it? Is that the one where they started Salisbury? at the, in the playoff game.
It probably is.
I can't remember.
Yeah, you're probably
Gino,
right.
who hadn't played at all in the regular season and had played a couple of exhibitions, and we took a Star Tribune survey. Now I don't even know how it would have been done then, because I don't. Was it online by then? I don't think so.
No, I think it was like a phone.
The phone. Call in 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Yes. Or none of the above. 91% wanted Gino. They'd never seen him, but they wanted Gino. Anybody but, you know, I think Gino was like a Heisman Trophy winner, sixth rounder or something.
Remember why? It's because he played at the end of a game, a preseason game in Kansas City, and he threw like a touchdown pass or something, and people went crazy. Like, Gino should be starting. It's like, Gino can't play.
Worst Heisman Trophy winner ever. There were 25 guys on that Hurricanes team that were NFLers, you know. I mean, that's where the Hurricanes had more athletes than the next five teams combined. And he was just along for the ride. And the dumbass Heisman voters, instead of picking out somebody from another position, it had to be the quarterback, and gave Gino the Heisman winner. Heisman, he was terrible. He was worse than the guy from Oregon. Who was the guy from Oregon? God, he was terrible. He ended up winning the Heisman. I don't know how that happened either. Can't remember. Terry Baker.
Oh, okay. I don't.
And then I think a guy from UCLA, Gary Beben, won it one year. He was no good any either. The Heisman Trophy voters are idiots. I got fired about 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
You did?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think there's a Heisman. Each town has a Heisman chairman, you know, and I think that whoever the Heisman chairman was took me out, which is fine. Because
was it Scoggins? Did Scoggins fire you?
I don't know. I don't think so. As much college football as I watch, I think it was a good idea to fire me. So
I recall there was a year when Sid brought his ballot out and said, vote.
To you?
And, like, had me vote. I'm like, Sid, I have no idea, but I'll mark a name for you.
Well, I had Sid. Fill this out for me. I think Sid at one time was the chairman.
He told me to vote one year for him.
Yeah. Sid, who's this guy from St. Paul? Should I let him vote? Yeah. But, I don't. Again, this year, they end up having to take a quarterback. A quarterback who had 3 points against Auburn with 50 seconds to go in a game.
Yeah, I know.
Playing for Alabama. And he wins by a landslide because he's a quarterback. We don't have to have quarterback mania in college football like we do. Speaking of Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, though, Joe Burrow had a nice day.
Yeah, what do you have, 500-plus
yards? 525 yards. Woo! Let's just say this. I know all losses, there's no difference in losses. But thank God this Vikings team got to play Joe Burrow in the season opener when he was banged up. Instead of now, they could go down there and could have one of those Cincinnati drubbings that the Vikings took on occasion down there.
I would love to hear the phone call a bit between Jamar Chase and Jefferson when Jamar calls. You should see my quarterback here. Joe Burrow, LSU, Justin.
Now, Justin came out yesterday and was critical, and that's fine. But I think we should give some credit for Justin's modest day to the fact that the best quarterback in the league was covering him most of the day, much of the day.
That was fun to watch too, Pat.
I know. Ramsey's, he's great. Man, he's great. It was amazing the one time they're trying to go down that sideline, how he just – but he's such a crafty guy. He just maneuvered. Pretty soon, Justin was running out of bounds. He couldn't get through him, you know.
He also punched the ball at the last second that Jefferson was going to catch. It was just a great play.
Yeah, and he was he was like keeping a rebounder off the boards on that one play. All of a sudden, Jefferson he's waving at the officials and he doesn't know why, but. You know, this idea that all I got to do is just throw in his direction and he'll catch it is usually true, but I don't think it is when you're being covered by Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
You know who we didn't see anything of yesterday was even playing? Von Miller. He was in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank.
Yeah. Did Denver just let him go because they didn't want to pay him, or what? What the hell? What was the deal? Did they give up a sixth rounder or something?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why, but I think he's at the end. I think he's closing in on the end because yeah, he didn't do much.
Yeah, he was. There's another fellow that was something else when he was good. There was some Hall of Famers on the field yesterday. That's for sure. I thought actually our guy Harrison was pretty involved yesterday. He looked as well good as he has in a long time, I thought. Didn't you?
Yeah, and he's actually been good for about a month now. I didn't think for the first couple months he did much, but the last month or so he's been good. He's still owed a ton next year though, so mm-hmm. I'm sure that they'll go back and say, hey, how about we restructure that contract?
Okay,
and cut that pay.
Remind me again if they trade Cousins. Then they don't have to take the huge cap hit.
Post June,
$10 million if they trade him, and 30 some if they just let him go.
Yeah, and it's a huge cap. It's a huge cap hit of dead money if they do it before June 1st. But post June 1st, which I think you can just date things, so it's strategic. Yeah. They would save a ton. Yes, mm-hmm. So they could do that.
I don't know who's going to take him. Who wants to take that kid? If the other team takes him, then they just get his salary as a cap hit, right? They don't.
Yes,
they don't get anything.
They would probably restructure him, extend him, and get that cap hit down.
Yeah, he's getting to that point where you're not sure you want to extend him. 35 or something.
What is he? 34? Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think he's got one more contract
left. It is funny though. A month ago, man. These people would fight you if you didn't think Kirk should be in the MVP conversation, and now it's all his fault. So he's not fired up. Some guy on Twitter said to me, I just don't see the fire that Tarkington, Kramer, and Culpepper had. Well, you know, that's, I don't know. Tommy had a lot of fire on Thursday nights, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, because the Rusty Scupper did. Huh? Because of the Rusty Scupper or Maximilian, yes. Tommy had a lot of haunts to get fired up.
Tommy might have been more fiery in the locker room on Sunday morning, but he might not have prepared himself as well as this guy does. You know, this guy's going home and saying his novenas and stuff, and taking his little rocks out of the rock thing. What is it, one a month? He takes the rocks out.
No,
of
it's one. You know what? I forget.
I think it's one every day.
One
isn't
a
it?
Month.
I think
for
it's
day,
every
yeah.
day, yeah.
I think well, it might be daily.
A big collection of
clock's ticking on Kirk.
mm-hmm.
Kirk knows it.
Yeah.
Kirk's a weird dude. I mean, there's no getting around
is.
It.
He is.
He's just a weird dude.
And when you read about Daddy, you understand why. You know?
This is true. This is mm-hmm. very true.
Mm-hmm. Daddy's got some theories.
But you and are.
I don't agree with him. I don't think you got to go around. I don't think you got to walk around in the house and Dad and say, Dad, I think you're full of baloney. You know, I think all this stuff is pretty wacky. Yeah,
I got a feeling I know that who Dad cast his vote for in the presidential election.
Too.
I'm just gonna put that out there. I think I know who Don Cousins voted for.
So I got a couple of tweets. Sharkman, our guy Sharkman, is on vacation in Barbados or some damn place with the family. And he took the family this time, so that was nice of him. But he sent me photos of his kids and his wife feeding monkeys. It is someplace. They're feeding monkeys. So I had to tell him how much I hate monkeys. Ever since I've told you this, Katie and I were in Gibraltar, and after the Ryder Cup in Spain, so when I was 97, I think, we went over there. These are the most vile creatures on the planet, monkeys. They have the mountain, you know, it's full of monkeys. They took over the thing. And you drive up on there in a rental car, and there's like monkeys standing on your hood, pounding on that thing, wanting food. They want, don't bring a sandwich with you. They'll break through the front window to get it. And they're just evil, selfish creatures. They have no consideration for the feelings of others. You know, monkeys. They're
sounds
very,
like us.
They're very bad.
Sounds like humans.
They're like sports writers.
Yeah, I was going to say, free food.
And I told them, I said, you know what they are? They're a bunch of Trumpers. They're selfish. They're, you know, they're just, they don't care about others. Monkeys. I hate monkeys. So, and then we got other wildlife problems here too. I mean, I don't have a monkey problem unless I go back to Barbados. But you know what we got in the neighborhood around here, apparently, in the 2-3 block radius? A family of a mom and dad cat who keep grinding out kids, and they're living out their feral cats. And we haven't seen any of the big ones, you know, when they get mean and nasty and they'll, you know, claw a baby in a carriage if it comes by, you know, the tomcat types. But there's two of them who keep thinking there's something, that something good that can happen to them if they hang around my house. They're always out on the deck in the back. I went out to get the paper the other morning at 4:30, and one of them was on the stoop peering in, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. I think you got to dispose of them.
Oh, Pete is coming after us now.
I'm with Pat.
I think they're going to get worse. They're going to get worse. I mean, you can't do anything to help them because then they'll never leave, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm afraid to leave my garage door open now. If I out shovel,
don't leave your garage door open. Yeah, don't do that.
I went out to shovel snow. I was out shoveling snow at 5:15 this morning because I woke up that early and I wanted to get rid of it. And I had the garage door open and I said, I'll have two cats in there if I leave it open. So I had to shut the garage door before I put my shovel.
Shut the garage door now. Yeah, shut that garage. Do not leave doors open now because of cats and people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust people either.
Yes. Well, I don't. I'm not worried about people, but because we've been here 30 years.
I don't trust people.
We've been here in 30 years. Yeah, there's some difficulties going on right now. There's sure for that. In fact, I wrote this column Sunday about this crazy guy, James Clark, who was, I don't know if you saw it, on the boxing guy, boxing MMA fighting 57 years old guy who lived in Ecuador for 9 years and just a real character and a, you know, world record, most weight lifted in an hour, most push-ups in an hour, all this crazy stuff. And the theme of it was this time he went through the park in Ecuador dressed up like a monster to scare the muggers. And then that became a big TV story in town that there was a monster in the park, even after he left and went back home. And some guy tweeted, said, tell him to come on out to South Minneapolis and help us with the carjackers. Get the monster back out in South Minneapolis with the carjackers. So
it's too cold now.
Huh?
It's too cold. Now it's so damn cold out.
Yeah.
Take the winter off, guys.
Yes, that's true.
And gals.
Apparently it's damn near all of them are youth. The carjackers.
Yeah, I've seen like 14, 15.
Teenagers, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
They don't even have a driver's license. Yeah. You carjack, Sean, and by the way, you don't have a driver's license. We're going to get you now.
We're gonna give you a citation, driving without a license.
Well, Tibbs coming to town Tuesday, but I think that ship has sailed in the night, hasn't it? That's not a big deal, is it?
No, I don't think so.
We did that last year and they beat him, right? They beat him bad.
And have you seen who's not playing? Like everybody's in COVID protocol. Cat, D'Lo,
yes.
Can't still. Mm-hmm. This is remarkable. It's basically it's bees in a G League team.
Yeah. And the Knicks I think the Knicks have gone through it too. And they got Derrick Rose is hurt. That's a shock. And, The Knicks are not playing well, but it's going to be an interesting scrimmage because the NBA games are scrimmages now. Who the hell's playing? Who's playing?
We talked about that. Yeah.
All of sports is
incredible.
It is. We're going to go on, and, you know, if you buy your ticket to one of those games, you're taking your chances on who might play. I think the NFL, God love them, they don't care about their athletes. They figured it out. If we don't have to test you, we're not going to. We're going to figure out any excuse we can not to test you. If you idiots will just get vaccinated, we'll let you play, basically. Although I see Jared Goff didn't they think he was going to play because he was vaccinated? And then they must not have passed a test or something.
He probably didn't feel well.
He didn't play Sunday for those Red Hot Lions.
Well, would you play? Like, if I can bag out, I'll bag out. Like, it's the Lions. Coach Campbell, I'm not feeling so well. Think I got COVID. See you next week.
Yeah.
See you in training camp.
They hung in there, fought mightily again. So I don't know. But it's sports is kind of, they're canceling bowl games left and right. It looks like some of these bowl games, I think they pulled the plug on a couple of them, even without positive COVID. A couple of them just said the hell with it, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hawaii dropped out of its own bowl game in Hawaii.
Yes. Yeah.
They're like, we can't play.
After Memphis flew out there. Memphis was on the ground. Here's the thing. You got teams bailing because they don't want to get beat, right? You got 110 players. If 25 of them got COVID, you still got 85 players. It's all crap that they're canceling these games. They don't want to get beat. Texas A&M canceled the Gator Bowl 2 weeks ahead of time because of injuries, transfers, and COVID. They didn't want to play. They were mad because they ended up stuck in the Gator Bowl. They thought they had a better year than that, the only team to beat Alabama. They didn't want to play, so they 2 weeks beforehand, they said, the hell with it, we're not playing. Who's the coach there? That egomaniac. What I see, they got the number one recruiting class in the country.
Jimbo.
Jimbo, yeah, Jimbo's there. He's supposed to be a complete jackass.
Shocked by that
egomaniacal guy. By the way, I looked up our GOFs today. Down to 42nd in the recruiting. This is usually the time of the year when they're. Remember, generally speaking, about late November, we say the Gophers are now rated sixth in the country in recruiting because he signed all his guys. They say more guys waited this year to sign, you know, in February than had in the past. So that's when the Gophers usually slip down. Maybe they'll slip back up. Maybe they decided to wait this time because, you know, signing everybody early didn't work out that great for them on the recruiting. So.
Yeah, but Pat, who cares now? I just want the transfer portal. I don't care if you're 18-year-old punk. Come back to me when you're 22 in the transfer portal. I'll take you then.
My poor old buddy Ringlesby out there in Wyoming, man. It's tough being a cowpokes fan, man, because, you know, you're out there in Laramie. It's cold. You know, that league's got Vegas in it and San Diego in it and, you know, going towns, and Laramie's got 15,000 people, and the biggest building is a six story high dormitory, and it's not exactly paradise. And then they go to a bowl game, and they get this quarterback, Levi Williams or something. Somehow they got this guy out here, and he tears it up. He rushes for over 200 yards. He passes good. He's, you know, they've been waiting for him. He explodes. Next day, transfer portal.
That's the guy I want. That's my quarterback.
He's the future of the country. He's the future of the program. 24 hours later, he said, I can do better than this. I just had a really good game. He's got some agent telling him, you go such and such, you can be in the NFL or a wide receiver.
Kansas City A's, Pat.
Yeah.
You got good there? Next stop, the Yankees.
Yankees. Yeah,
that's right. Wyoming football, the Kansas City A's.
Yeah, it's very you got to be as old as me. You already heard about the Kansas City A's.
Yes, I have.
Being the Yankees farm club. That was a big trauma back in the day. They're just the Yankees farm club, the A's. And the Yankees had sent them some guy who couldn't make their team and get back. You know, they'd send them five marginal guys. Well, the Orioles did the same thing for several years there. They'd build up some guy that this guy was the next great thing in the minors, and you got to get him. But the ones that were really good, they kept Gritch and Baylor and those guys. And the ones that weren't that good, they'd trade for, you know, they'd trade three of them for one good Frank Robinson or somebody like that. Anyway.
The Mets in the late 80s were great at that. They would tell baseball America, we got all these prospects. You got, they're not, and then they trade them all, and they all would wash out.
Yes, that's true.
And they get back, you know, decent big league players. Very smart move.
I sent Merry Christmas to Rocco because he's got the baby. You know, the baby's too young, and the baby's too young, but it's his first Christmas as a dad. So I sent him the thing, and he said, "It's been the greatest Christmas ever, and I'll see you in Florida sometime." He said he's not, he's like the rest of them. They're not terribly optimistic. There's apparently the negotiators took the holidays off. They're not talking. What are they waiting for?
I have no idea.
Panic to ensue on the other side.
I have no idea. You know what I think? I think the owners are basing their case here on what football did. I think that they think the players will panic as spring training nears, but that union is totally different. Football's the weakest union. We've talked about that.
And then the main reason is that football players are replaceable. They're just people out there with helmets on, right? You can replace. I mean, yesterday they replaced the left tackle three times for the, they didn't have their regular left tackle. Then they didn't have their second left tackle. Then they ended up, and nobody knew the difference, right? You're out there with your helmet. There's six guys we know, and there's a bunch of anonymous people. Baseball, you get some shortstop who can't play, everybody sees it. There's nowhere to hide. So there's nothing to hide in. You cannot show off rotten in baseball. I mean, you can't sell rotten. They tried that with the replacement ball. And I remember being there, and for the first few days, we were kind of amused by it, right? It was kind of funny, and Willie Tatum became the crowd of 1,800 went crazy because Willie hit the home runs 2 days in a row. We had a swing a big, long swing that had no chance to ever work. But, hey, Willie, we wrote about it for about 3 or 4 days, and they had a bunch of nice guys. Terry Train's brother was down there and guys like that, from town ballers. But, at some point, are they really going to, especially when you have your manager, you're in the clubhouse after one of these games, and the manager's in, Tom Kelly is in the worst mood he's ever been in his life and refuses to say anything good about any of them as players. Good human beings, or something he would never say, yeah, this guy's got a chance. He was determined. When are we got an anniversary of that coming up here pretty soon? It was 95.
Spring training of 95, right?
Yeah, spring training in 95. Well, hey, we missed it. We should have had a 25-year anniversary of that thing, right? It was the greatest fiasco ever. Two spring trainings that year, though. That was good. And went down, stuck around, went home, and then came back when the regular guys showed up for a couple of weeks. So, but yeah, you can't. Baseball can't. You need the ad. Marvin was smart enough to convince these guys they need you worse than you need them.
Yeah, exactly.
NFL is not that way. NHL, to some degree, is that way because, like the NFL, the amount of money they make was not enough then to put up with another, to not cave in after they made him sit out a whole year. Do you remember that? What point of that season did they say, okay, we're not going to play? When they, 2004 or 5?
Yeah, I think it was March because they talked about briefly there was an attempt to come back and play like a few games and then a playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they abandoned that. And it was springtime by then, I believe, because I covered it after the Packers season. And then in April or so, it blew up. They missed an entire season.
Yeah, they did not play. Yeah.
And it actually did the sport good because the rule changes they came back with were the first step towards making the game watchable again, because that thing had become unwatchable.
Yeah, it did not. It didn't do this franchise too much good for at least the next year or two because Bob Nagley spent as little money as he possibly could when they came back from that after all the money he'd lost in the lockout. That 2005-2006 team was terrible. Terrible. What they that was by far their worst team.
That last Stanley Cup that they played between the Flames and Lightning with Torts coaching Tampa Bay, Pat, was some of the worst hockey I've ever seen. It was so slow, and it, you know, it's trapping.
Is that the team that won?
And Tampa Bay beat Calgary, but it was awful. It was unwatchable. Yes. Yeah. That, so that was 03, 04, because they lost 04, 05, right? So that was 03, 04. But I mean, that was as slow and boring as you could possibly get.
You know what we don't give the Wild enough credit for? Being less than mediocre. They have had one playoff run in their history, because getting to the second round is not a playoff run. Getting out of the second round, that is a playoff run. And they certainly deserve one this year, because they have had an incredibly loyal audience that only needs a hint of hope. It only needs a hint of hope. Parisi and, you know, they were done. They were done. And then Parisi and Suter came in here. And, you know, they haven't played for so damn long. You almost forget that there's a season. But, you know, they haven't. They've made the playoffs, but they haven't made us proud. Have they? Have they made us? When's the last time they made us proud?
No. 03 was fun, but yeah, besides that.
03 was great, yeah.
Yeah, but besides that, no. They were supposed to go to Stanley Cup Finals with Parisi and Suter, not to the second round a couple of times.
Yeah, in the one year, everybody was pretty dang juiced. Which year was it that they won the first round series and then they had Blackhawks in the second round?
Yeah, and they got swept.
And everybody was fired up for that one, and that looked like a good team. When was that? I don't know.
Was it 17? Was that 16 by then?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
They owe us one. But right now they owe us games. I guess I didn't realize how important the Winter Classic is to the NFL. I mean, the NHL, man alive.
The marquee event.
We'll postpone every game just to make sure we get this one played.
It's their biggest marquee thing.
And they've gotten rid of all the others, right?
No, they've got a Nashville. They've got the Predators playing somebody in an outdoor game, which I hate. That stadium series, the game here was fun, but the Winter Classic was special because it was the Winter Classic.
Yes, it was the only
one.
One
year they played like seven outdoor games one year.
Yeah, it was that was just so stupid that they let's do this, you know. Okay. That worked, so let's do it at eight places and make it meaningless so people turn it on and say, oh, I thought the Winter Classic was on New Year's Day. That's sports, though, and that's all entertainment. If something worked,
they'll always abuse it.
Let's make six sequels of something. If there'd never been a movie sequel outside of Godfather 2, the world would be a better place, wouldn't it? Never have a movie cycle.
The ability to ruin something that's special is truly a great sports tradition.
Hey, I ran across a pretty good kind of a series that has a couple of laughs on Amazon last night. It's been there, and I always thought it was like a family show or something, so I never called it up. Red Oaks. It's about a country club, and I guess it started in 2015. Paul Reiser's in it, and it's depressing how old he looks and some of the other people, but he's great. And it's about a, you know, youth working at a country club and all the jackasses, and Paul Reiser's the chief jackass of the president of the club. But it's not bad, but they got this old guy who's been around forever. And I have no idea what his name is, but he's there and he's hanging out at the club every day drinking, and he's in the pool and he's talking to the kid who's the lead. He's like just starting college at NYU, the kid. And he's asking him, what are you going to do? And he says, and the kid's kind of hemming and hawing. He says, oh, you're just trying to find yourself, huh? He said, you know what we did when we were finding ourselves in my day? Killed Nazis. I that made it worthwhile watching 3 or 4 episodes last night. Kill the Nazis.
It is incredible how many name actors are in shows.
Yeah.
That are streaming that I don't know about.
Yes, yes.
I had no idea that he was in a show.
It took me 20 minutes to find out and then finally say, wait, that's Paul Reiser. You know who else is in it? Jennifer Grey is a mother of Jennifer Grey probably late 40s now.
Once she got the nose redone, unrecognizable.
My father used to say the same thing.
I looked up the cast and said, oh, I kept saying, who's that? Who's that? And Richard Kind, who's an actor that you know, you see him all the time.
Oh, he's in Curb.
He is
he's great.
He is the husband of Jennifer Grey and the parents of the main character, the kid in there. And they hate each other. You know, they've been married forever. They hate each other. the father has a heart attack. And as he's recovering, he starts making all these confessions to his son. Including, I think your mother's a lesbian and stuff like that. And then he lives, of course. So it's pretty well done. It's kind of a poor man's Caddyshack, you know. Not nearly as hilarious, and not nearly as hard. They don't work as hard for the jokes, but it's pretty good. But it's not something you were going to watch 20 episodes of. But it was okay. But it also should remind you how damn old you are. So,
Curb has been great. I don't know if you've watched it.
Yeah, I watch it.
Oh, my God.
Again, I can only take about 2 in a row, and then I say, oh, okay, geez. You know, the trouble with Curb is how many shows have ripped off that whole theme of the complications just keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Everybody tries to do that now, right?
Oh, yeah,
Seinfeld did that, too, and obviously that's where it started, and they've just taken it to a new level.
Yes, with swearing.
Now everybody tries to do that same damn thing. So.
It's fantastic.
What else we got going on sports?
Are you going to the Winter Classic? Am I going to see you in the press box on Saturday?
No, I'm going to do a piece, but I'm not going in advance, but I'm not. I think we got 2 columnists there and 3-4 other guys.
Chip going?
Chip's going, yeah, I think so.
Chip and Lavelle or Chip and Jim?
Jim and I'm not sure, but I'm not. I am not going to be there. I figured I'd be taking up space, and it's too far away. I can't see the puck when I'm in I can't see the puck when I'm in the XL up in the press box. How am I going to see the puck out there?
Declan is going to be sitting in the stands with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Declan, now you guys, I never thought when I was reading this week's weather forecast, several days when the high is only going to be 10 mm-hmm. and the low is going to be below 0 every night. That good traditional New Year's Eve freeze that's coming. And I never related to me. Wait, these dummies are playing the hockey game at night this year, thinking us hardy Minnesotans won't mind it. Declan, you're going with your brother. Do you have any idea where you're sitting?
Yeah, I do. I have actually pretty nice seats. I'm lower level. I'm equivalent on the above, very close to above the Twins dugout.
Okay.
So I'm in like those dugout.
Are you going to be able to see through the crap?
Well, I hope so.
The cameras and
and
the towers and stuff. That's the question.
I hope so, Pat.
I think you want to be high enough so you can see over all that stuff, right?
Yeah, maybe. Well,
so the good seats might be the bad seats.
That's right. I will say, you know, the $18 McGolden lights that I'm sure my brother and I will be sipping on throughout will make the experience even more enjoyable and warmer in that cold weather.
How do you drink beer, though? It's so damn cold.
Oh, that's fun.
I bet you that what those cost you, buddy?
I would bet a beer at Winter Classic.
No, the tickets.
Oh, I don't know. The girlfriend got me tickets for my birthday, and she would not disclose what she paid. But so that tells me she likes me a lot and got me very nice tickets, I think.
Yeah, you're gonna have to stick with her for a while.
Yeah, yeah, at least through the year. Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, yeah, it's. I think of, weren't they gouging everybody pretty good? Wasn't there a lot of complaints about how expensive it was?
Of course there were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course it's well, and now you're gonna freeze your tuchus off for the right to sit there and watch a game that you're right. You probably
and you know what?
Okay,
they'll be searching you too. They won't let you sneak the schnapps in or anything.
Oh, you gotta buy that stuff in the clubs.
Yeah. They should sell. You know what they should sell? And you charge $30, but they should sell little pint bottles of tequila and schnapps and just sell the pint bottles. Right?
I'll put one underneath my shoe. I got these new high top shoes, Pat. These boots. I think I'll shove, you know, four or five little pony bottles underneath there. I'll be good to go.
I think you guys should all, the fans should all make a deal to show up at the same time and then push through the gates. You know, push through the gates so they can't search you for your the booze.
The bush push.
Yes, right.
Do the bush push.
You gotta.
Get a big fat guy to push everybody.
You got to be allowed to, you know, or have the guy out there selling for $30. It'd probably be 50, but the, you know, the pint of tequila or something. And so just, they're not going to, even if they wanted to throw bottles, they couldn't get them all the way to the ice, right?
No.
Plus, they could have special Winter Classic plastic bottles of booze, couldn't they?
I like that.
$50, yeah, that'd be good.
$50 for a special, just get hammered, don't feel the cold, and take a souvenir home.
I like that idea. I wanted an original six, though, not the Blues. I wanted one of the real teams.
Not the Blackhawks again. They've played like in every outdoor game.
Yeah.
Detroit?
Yeah, but the Blackhawks stink. The Blues are okay, but we don't dislike the Blues.
Well, the Blues North Stars at the outset played a ton.
Oh, sure, it was great. Yeah.
So that's where I think they hearkened it back to the expansion when the North Stars and Blues were part of the six-team expansion that came in.
And you hardly remember that. You don't even remember
that. I don't remember that.
You got to be my age. You got to be a doddering old fool to remember when
we remember
the Blues.
The OT Game 7 Steve Payne goal at Met Center in 84 that put the North Stars in the Western Conference Finals against the Oilers, which mm-hmm. then quickly came to
the Oilers series. It didn't take long.
That wasn't too good.
One of my favorite moments, though, Bracken is covering it for the Star Tribune. I think they might not have.
That was merged by then.
Had the star died by then?
Yep, star died in 80-ish.
He was covering for the Star Tribune, and Charlie Hallman, the great Charlie Hallman, was covering for the St. Paul papers. We still had two then. And they were great buddies, but always playing pranks on each other. And Bracken, you know, Bracken had some subtlety to his pranks usually, but Charlie would like hit you in the head with a bucket and thinks that was a prank. He was like Sid with pranks, you know, like throwing a bucket of water on top of people. He was, well, there's 25 of us on a plane back from Edmonton. And Charlie has fallen. Charlie is like laid over us of the three seats, you know, and fallen asleep. And Bracken goes up and he stuffs Charlie's foot in a chair, you know, in the crack between chairs, stuffs his foot in there. And then he yells, "Charlie." And Charlie jumps up and twists his ankle and has no precaution. He has no thought that this could have come from anybody but Bracken, right? So he comes storming down the aisle. He's going to kill Bracken. And there's 25 of us. And Charlie is like, I'm back there. We're all spread out in the back. And I'm saying, "Charlie, Charlie." And the pilot comes out. The stewardess, you know, the flight attendants come and try to stop Charlie. And Charlie's still threatening to kill him. And the pilot comes out and threatens to land us in Winnipeg if those two guys don't sit out. That was a prank gone bad right there.
And now they would.
Oh, God, yes.
Now they just land in Winnipeg and you'd be screwed.
Now they cancel the plane if they only had 25 flights.
That's true.
Say, good point. Take your chances, boys. So anyway, that was, that was the most lopsided Western Conference final of history. The first one was 7-0. I remember that. 7-0.
And I think the North Stars led big in a game at, maybe it was a Met Center, and they lost. They still lost. Mm-hmm. I think they're like 4 goals. Edmonton came right back.
That was a pretty good power play.
Gretzky, Coffey,
Anderson played a point, and Messier.
That's not too bad.
That was a pretty good five. We never knew what the second group was because they'd scored a goal, so the power play was over. You know?
They were unnecessary is what the second group
yes,
was.
Yes, the second group was.
They served no purpose.
All right. We'll talk tomorrow, but have a very good outdoor classic there, Declan.
I will. Thank you, Pat.
Yes. I don't think you can get drunk enough to stay warm, but give it a shot.
No, I'll give it a shot. I'll report back. I'll gladly report back.
Remember. See you, Patrick.
Goodbye. Bye.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.